Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal of informing, inspiring, and impacting our listening audience is accomplished by providing a platform for those who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community so they can share who they are and what they do. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. The reason we do this show is because Karen Ellenbecker, our founder, came back from a trip abroad talking all about the wonderful people she met who are doing all these great things in various parts of the world. And she knew that there are also so many wonderful people and organizations doing so many wonderful things right here in our own community that people may not even be aware of. So she wanted to bring awareness to those people, primarily nonprofits, who are doing such great work and who are the lifeblood or the heart of the community. And because we work and know so many people who are interested in giving of their time, their talents, and their treasures, we also wanted to connect people to various nonprofits that may align with their interests and giving goals so that they too can make a difference. My first guest today is from an organization whose name may sound familiar, at least in part, but we want to be sure people are aware of how they align and support this great, well-known local establishment called the Domes. Welcome Krista Beal-Diefenbach from the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. So why don't we start today, Krista, by you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up actually in rural Missouri. I lived there until I was a young adult. I grew up with a family that was definitely what we would call working class. My father worked in a factory. My mother actually worked as a hostess at Wendy's. And, you know, it was a very rural area and certainly what we would call a disadvantaged part of our country. You know, and I got to learn firsthand how impactful nonprofits can be in the lives of people like mine. So, you know, my family, we were very poor. We really struggled to make ends meet. And, you know, I got to see how nonprofits can and do step in and help folks like me and my family. Gosh, we got our clothing from a local thrift store that was ran by our church, right? So if we didn't have that opportunity to purchase clothes at such a discount, I'm not sure what my family would have done. But it was also beyond that, being able to go to college. I'm proud to say that I have a MBA, but I went to college through scholarships that were provided by nonprofit organizations and through Pell Grants. And so I really see that nonprofit organizations have played a really important role in my life. And because of that, I want to give back. And that's what I do. I've spent my career really focused on those impact organizations that are making a difference in the community. And for me, the Mitchell Park Horticultural Conservatory, also known as the Domes, is one of those organizations. And so now I'm spending my days giving back to my community by helping the Domes as it's trying to establish itself and a new future.
Okay. Well, I think many people know about the Domes and perhaps have gone there for the train show or attended a school field trip as a kid. But for those who have maybe not been there before, tell us what the Domes offers our community.
Well, it is a truly a national treasure. It was actually designated a national treasure by the National Trust for Historic Preservation some years back. I really think of it as a civic heirloom, you know, something that, you know, if you think of a family heirloom that you pass on from to generations, or, you know, it's that same concept. We hear all the time from folks how They came to the domes when they were children with their grandparents, and now they're bringing their own children. And it really provides for that intergenerational connectedness. And it supports our community in so many ways. There's that health and wellness where we host groups all the time that are looking for healing opportunities. So veterans are a group that are frequently attending the domes as tours or, you know, through our different programming. And it's an opportunity for them to really connect with nature, which is in itself a really important way that we can support our emotional and physical health. As a way to introduce people to the importance of the domes, I'd like to read a short message that we had received through Reddit.
Yes, go ahead, please.
So I've lived in Seattle for 15 years, but Milwaukee is my home. That may sound strange, but Milwaukee has my heart. It's where I grew up. It wasn't an easy place for a quiet, bullied kid, but I always found safety at the Mitchell Park domes. I could walk around, think, listen to headphones. Early on, my dad introduced me to the domes. He and I would go alone, leaving the family at home. He was this buff construction guy, but he'd walk my little self around and point out every plant he knew. Because we were poor, my dad wanted to make the most of our money, so we would go really slowly. We would sit there and listen and watch. It was as if we were trying to watch the plants bloom in front of us. I'm not a rich man, not by any stretch, but I recently donated to the domes. There's a lot of kids and grown-ups too that find inspiration at places like the domes. Safe spaces matter. The domes saved me, as silly as that sounds. So I just thought that was so beautiful because it really does speak to what institutions like the domes have to offer our community.
Yes, absolutely. That was beautiful. Well, okay, so now there's the domes. Now tell us about the Milwaukee Domes Alliance.
So we're a support organization. We've actually been around, previously known as Friends of the Domes. And so we were started in 1989. Today, we run about half of the operations of the conservatory. And we have 5,000 members, hundreds of volunteers, and we are right now leading the charge in finding this new path forward for the Mitchell Park Domes.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So people may or may not know that the domes have been at risk for some time, and there was even talk about demolition. So tell us about the challenges facing the domes and how it got to the point of talking about destroying them.
Yes, so it was decades of deferred maintenance. They are a Milwaukee County facility, and given the fiscal challenges facing the county, it really just was not viable for them to put the money in that was needed to maintain them. And so, you know, we got to this point where, you know, if you go to the domes on a rainy day, it's raining inside. However, that doesn't mean that they're not structurally sound. They certainly are going to be standing for many, many years, but we have to stop the water from coming in. So that water infiltration is causing all sorts of problems that we need to address right away.
Okay. Well, can they be saved?
Absolutely. So, you know, just as in our own homes, we need to replace windows after 60 years. Well, we need to replace the windows in the domes. Unfortunately, there are 6,500 of those windows.
A few more than in our own homes. Yes.
Yes. But they can be replaced. We did do a study, a reglazing study, where we know that those windows can be replaced and the seals can be replaced and we can stop the water from coming in. And the domes will then be around for another 50 years.
Very nice. That's what we hope for. So tell us what the plan is then. If you're looking to restore and reinvigorate the domes, what's the plan?
Yeah, so our goal is to not just put the domes back the way they were. So they are this beautiful, iconic national treasure for sure. However, they lack some of the amenities that you would expect in a modern conservatory. So by reimagining them, we're able to add to those amenities and give our visitors a better experience. What that allows us to achieve is a sustainable business model. So just for those of us who aren't finance people, by that we mean we have more revenue than we have in expenses. For a lot of cultural attractions, it's a really challenging objective. But for the domes, we can do it. We, by just changing slightly how we operate, we're able to really lean into that and to generate significantly more revenue than we do today. And so we've got some really exciting amenities that we'll be adding. And from that, we'll be able to achieve that objective.
Okay. Well, that's all very exciting and good to hear. Those of us who are familiar with the domes know that there are three of them. There's a desert dome, a tropical dome, and a floral show dome. After our commercial break, Krista will tell us how the Domes Reimagined project will be adding a fourth dome to the visitor experience. I wonder what it could be. Maybe a snow globe dome? I wonder. Stay tuned to find out when we return. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking again in this segment with Krista Beal-Dieffenbach, CEO from the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. And so, Krista, this is really exciting about this fourth dome. Is it going to be a snow globe? Tell us what the Domes Reimagined project has coming up.
Yes, so we will be adding a fourth dome to the visitor experience, but it actually already does exist. It's a growing greenhouse. It's a small little dome that's actually nestled between the show dome and the desert dome. And we're going to turn that space into an interactive children's garden.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. So no snow globe.
No snow globe, but we are going to have a bug exhibit.
Okay.
It's fun, and this amazing clay structure. It's what we call a yes space for kids. So it's yes, they can touch. Yes, they can run. Yes,
oh, nice. That'll be awesome. Well, will operations be different?
Yes, so much will be different. You know, we are reimagining the facility, but we're also reimagining the programming and the operations. I mean, just one data point is that we'll be able to see three times as many children through our school field trip program. Right now, we are very limited in our space, our event space and our education space. And through this new future, we're going to really have a lot more facility to work with. And so, you know, there certainly will be lots of ways in which we're changing that visitor experience. We're also going to be, you know, adding new programming, giving lots of people reasons to come back to the domes, because some folks, maybe they came here on a school field trip, but they haven't been back since.
And I think you mentioned to me when we initially met that this reimagined program is actually going to take the domes off the county's list of financial obligations.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's always been one of the challenges for the domes, is that, you know, they ran at a deficit budget that had to be covered by Milwaukee County. And so through this Domes Reimagined project, we are going to be able to create this sustainable business model where we'll have enough revenues to cover our expenses, plus we'll also have a surplus that we can put away for future maintenance needs that gets us out of this challenge that we're currently in.
Nice, nice. Well, how is the capital project part of the Domes Reimagined project going to be financed?
Yeah, so phase one is about $115 million, and that includes restoration of the domes, so replacing those 6,500 panes of glass, as well as adding all of those different amenities. And so the capital stack includes, you know, a financial commitment of $30 million from Milwaukee County. We're requesting funds from the state. We're going to do a philanthropic campaign, as well as leveraging tax credit financing. So you put all of those monies together, and it equals the whole and doesn't put the burden unnecessarily on one entity. So in terms of the operating performa, you know, we're going to be able to achieve that business model by adding these additional amenities. And I think your listeners would be really excited to learn about some of those, including like a new cafe where you'll be able to grab an espresso or a glass of wine. We're also going to have that the little Sprouts Dome, which is what we're calling that interactive children's garden.
Nice.
Families.
Yeah, little Sprouts Dome.
So cute.
Yes.
And then an expanded gift shop. So by putting all of those new amenities together, that really allows us to achieve that business model that we're looking for.
Wow, that's quite the undertaking. How are you, the Milwaukee Domes Alliance, managing this significant project?
Well, we certainly have a small army, but it's actually a quite large army of folks, individuals, and that includes our volunteer corps and the our board of directors, of course, but we also have a Domes Reimagined Project Task Force and, you know, lots of folks who are lending their expertise, you know, their talents and certainly their time to make this project possible. We also have a lot of consultants that we've brought on, and that includes our real estate development experts and architects and engineers to really ensure that we're not making any missteps. We want this to be a really solid project, and we want it to be that amazing visitor experience. So, you know, we were bringing in those expertise to make sure that that happens. And then there's the resource generation component of it. It's really important to note that, you know, this is a $115 million effort. And we need to bring in a team of individuals who can help us generate those resources. That includes communications folks and grant writers, as well as fundraising council.
And didn't you tell me that you're partnering with the Milwaukee County Parks or?
Yeah, so thank you. The Milwaukee County facility, we're housed within the Parks District. And so I will say that this project is only possible thanks to the support and leadership of Milwaukee County Parks. And they have done an amazing job of helping us, thread a really tight needle, right? This project is complex, and certainly we've made a lot of progress, and it is thanks to their leadership. I will also just note that part of this project includes Mitchell Park itself. So we are housed in Mitchell Park, which is one of the original six Milwaukee County parks. It's almost 62 acres. It's huge. It's beautiful. But it's really been underloved as of late. And so part of this project is to invest in the park itself, bringing some of the amenities that used to exist back to the park. And that's Milwaukee County Parks has really been a key partner in making that happen.
Mm. Well, and again, we say all the time that it's a group effort. I mean, you've got quite a task ahead of you, $115 million cost for phase one alone. So you really need to rely on that that army of experts that you talk about. And you're saying that that funding piece is so crucial for you to be able to reach your goals, obviously. And I think that can be said of most any nonprofit, right? And you talked about the importance of this army of experts that offered various levels of support. So stay tuned, because after our short commercial break, we're going to dive into that really important element for all nonprofits so they can be the best that they can be. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Crystal Wendelberger, founder of Forward Communications, whose collaboration with the Milwaukee Domes Alliance was instrumental in helping them reach their goals. Welcome to the show today, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Jill. I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted to have you. Well, I was introduced to you by Julie Luther from the Mars Family Foundation. Thank you to Julie, right? They were guests of mine at our nonprofit leadership seminar, and I asked them to invite someone who had an expertise in grant writing. And Julie recommended you and introduced us. And I appreciated your contribution to our seminar for sure. But what I really liked was the book that you gifted me and that you wrote called Mindful Gratitude that I just finished, by the way. It was very inspirational and motivational. So thank you for that. So one of your many talents is writing, not only books, but grants as well. Tell us why you chose that path.
Well, first of all, thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. I sort of landed in the nonprofit sector by accident, as many, many of us do. You know, it's not necessarily what we're going after. So my parents, from a very young age, just really ingrained in my brothers and I that we are here on this earth to take care of each other. It's the most important thing we can do, is to approach each other with love and compassion, and that that is beyond just the people in our family and our friends. That really is to extend out into our community and then beyond that to the world. And so those were just sort of natural values that were inside of me already. I also had this great love of writing growing up, and I really imagined that I would work at a glossy fashion magazine or movie or music magazine. But as I was in college, I started getting interested in international relations and conflict resolution and interpersonal communication and all sorts of peace studies sort of classes. And as I took those classes, I was feeling more and more inspired to go down a path that would allow me to put my values into action. So I did some international service work, and I came back to Milwaukee and I worked in a shelter for a couple of years. But I always knew, my calling is not to be a social worker. And so when an opportunity arose to do some grant writing, because there was nobody on staff doing that, I will do that. I raised my hand right away. And it was just wonderful because it gave me the opportunity to bring those various strands of my life together and to put my talents and skills as a writer together with my really core values about how to live life. And so.
And if you're very blessed, because if people can do that, I mean, that's the ideal. Figure out a way you can make a living by doing what you love to do, right?
It is. And I would just add that after a few years working within an organization, I just sort of saw that there was this tremendous need for this kind of help in a lot of organizations. And they didn't necessarily have funding to bring on a full-time grant writer or to bring on a full-time fundraiser. And so I thought, well, I think that I can offer that to organizations as a consultant. And that's what I started to do. And that's how I landed on Forward Communications.
Okay. Well, I talked about how nonprofits are the lifeblood or the heart of the community, but it really is a diverse sector with organizations that range from after-school programs with an annual operating budget of $25,000 to multi-billion-dollar healthcare systems. For those who may not be 100% sure what makes a nonprofit, can you explain more?
Yeah, sure. You know, I wish that we didn't use the term nonprofit, because I believe that this nonprofit sector, it is the term we use, really generates gigantic human profits. So probably a better term would be community-based organizations or service and mission-based organizations. But we use nonprofit, and so I'll say the reason we do that is because these organizations, unlike businesses, don't exist to make a financial profit. They are doing their work literally to create human profit, to improve our lives, to bring something to the community that wasn't there before. And so those organizations operate almost entirely on contributions. And whether that's contributions from individuals or grants from corporations and foundations, they are not there to turn a profit. And I think nonprofit organizations really bring people together, and they give us a place to organize around shared challenges, shared values, and shared humanity. Nonprofit organizations in our community are addressing some of the biggest challenges facing society: hunger, drug addiction, domestic violence. And I think in terms of shared humanity, so many nonprofit groups are elevating our community, like the domes, you know, providing spaces where we can go and imagine and have a sense of wonder when we, you know, look at all of those flowers and plants. And, you know, the domes can take us really to another place, right? The tropical dome or the desert dome can take us somewhere warm and beautiful in the wintertime. And so really, again, it just so elevates our experience here in Milwaukee. And of course, I'd include the Art Museum and Discovery Worlds and our Milwaukee Public Museum. They really allow us to have a space for learning and wonder and a place to explore our shared humanity.
And that's the important piece of where you come in, because we want to be able to have these organizations sustain themselves. And like you said before, they may not have resources to bring somebody on full time. And so bringing somebody else in with that expertise to help them with those fundraising efforts is crucial in many cases. So your business, Forward Communications, works with obviously many nonprofits here in Milwaukee. Tell us a bit about how you do that.
Sure. We really help nonprofits to tell their stories, communicate their mission, create smart plans around how they can fundraise and be financially sustainable. And then we really provide those direct services like grant writing. So we get right in the trenches and we'll work on grants. And I think people sometimes aren't completely aware of what a grant is. There are a lot of, you know, grant making foundations in the city and around the nation. And those foundations have money that is specifically set aside and invested to give to nonprofit organizations, but that money is also very competitive. So you write a grant explaining your program and what the money that they're going to invest is going to do and what the outcomes of that will be. And that does take some specialized knowledge and skills. And so we can bring that kind of knowledge and that kind of support to an organization.
Yeah. And again, I would think anybody would want to align themselves with someone who knows where the resources are. You know, again, you may, a nonprofit may not know how many organizations, foundations, businesses are out there that want to support in some way. And having somebody like yourself that knows where to go to find those is really crucial.
Yes. And I think part of it is also knowing who to go. Quite often organizations will say, well, I know there's just so much money out there. And, you know, the XYZ Foundation gives money to everyone. Well, maybe, but they're not interested exactly in what you do. So we have to be really targeted in our approach because they do have limited resources. These organizations have very limited resources. So we want to help them use their resources in the most targeted and efficient way by really connecting them with the donors, the foundations, the corporations, the individuals who really have a passion for the work that they are doing, whether it's feeding the hungry or, you know, the arts, the museum, the ballet, any of that. So,
yeah. Well, we're going to pause for just a moment for a quick commercial break. But when we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Crystal and Krista about the nonprofit sector and how people help support them in their efforts to make our community a great place. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and we are continuing our conversation in our final segment with Crystal Wendelberger, founder of Forward Communications, and Krista Beal-Diefenbach, CEO from the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. So, Crystal, given your decades of experience with nonprofits, what do you think people... they may not always understand or get right about this nonprofit sector?
Well, I think sometimes when people hear the words nonprofit organization, they think of really large national organizations like Save the Children or St. Jude's, things that we see these huge flashy commercials on TV. And, you know, in reality, most nonprofit organizations are local and very small. They are our neighbors doing good work. So across the country, 97% of nonprofits have budgets under $5 million. 92% operate with less than $1 million a year. And fully 88% have budgets of less than $500,000 annually. So I don't think that people always realize just how small and close and local that work is. I also don't know that they always know where the nonprofits are. So while 36% of nonprofits do operate their headquarters in urban centers, 64% of nonprofits are providing their services and their support in suburban and rural communities. So they really, it's a sector that touches all of us, wherever we live. And, you know, I don't know that that's always recognized. I think something that I really would want people to know is just how hardworking the people in this sector are. I just have such tremendous respect for the organizations that I work with. And really, it has been dozens and dozens of organizations over the years. And I have met some of the smartest, most innovative, most creative, articulate.
And probably compassionate.
And extremely
yes.
compassionate.
Yeah.
And because, you know, these are a lot of times people who could be making a lot of money in the corporate world. They have all of the talent and the skills. And, you know, Krista mentioned she has an MBA. That's something that she could be bringing to the corporate world and making a lot of money, right? So when these leaders are choosing to be in these organizations and the people who work in them and provide the services, they really are so committed. They are there because they care. I want people to know that. So when an organization asks you for a contribution, just know that it's because it's necessary. It's because it's what they need. And it's because they are doing really hard work, smart work, efficient work to serve the community. Also, just that the sector is really a tremendous economic driver. So here in Milwaukee, nearly 200,000 people are employed by nonprofit organizations. That's a lot of people paying their taxes, going to the restaurants, buying houses, paying their rent, you know, so that's really, it's an impactful sector in that way. And also the nonprofit sector does a ton of job training, you know, and a lot of times it's the soft skills. Mm-hmm. So maybe the people who really are struggling the most to find a place in the workplace, there are many nonprofit groups that will work with them to develop the soft skills. How do you show up on time? How do you dress for work? How do you communicate at work? And these are things that these nonprofit organizations do that really benefit our business community because they're preparing people to succeed in roles that our businesses must have filled. So they really contribute to the economy in so many ways.
Well, and I like what you said about quoting those statistics about the local businesses. And yeah, there are a ton of globally recognized nonprofits, and they do great work. But I will say the reason Karen Ellenbecker wanted to do this radio show is because of the little guy. Coming back from just various places around the world and saying, you know, we really have some great people right here that are doing great work. And unfortunately, not everybody knows that they exist. Karen just wants to give these small guys an opportunity to be heard because there are so many of them. And they deserve an opportunity just as much as the big guys. Everybody doing great work. Again, they're not out there to compete. I think it's better to say they're completing. They're completing and not competing. There is plenty of work to go around, plenty of people to serve, and everyone has their place. And so we're happy that we are able to give nonprofits, small and maybe not so small, an opportunity to be heard. You said that nonprofits are the invisible backbone of our communities, Crystal. Can you give us some examples of how philanthropy is at work in Milwaukee? Probably don't have enough time to tell all the examples you have.
We don't have enough time. But, you know, they are doing a lot of important work around issues of poverty, addressing hunger and homelessness and domestic violence. And when I say invisible, it's because, you know, I think they add to our overall quality of life for our whole community. But we don't necessarily see that work that they're doing day in and day out. And partly because of what you just talked about, these small organizations don't have big budgets to be, you know, telling everybody what they're doing. And so that is one way that they are invisible. Another way, just going back to that economic impact, there's a study by Americans for the Arts in 2022 showing that Milwaukee's nonprofit arts and cultural organizations generated nearly $350 million in economic activity in Milwaukee. So
wow.
That
okay.
means people go to the theater or they go to the ballet or they go to the domes and then they go and get something to eat or they go shopping or, you know, so the sector is also in that way. It's very invisible, right? But they're bringing people to our city to spend their dollars and contribute to our economy. I also want to just say a couple of personal things. You know, I remember I have a very specific memory of my middle child was like 2 years old and we needed something to do on a boring afternoon. And it was COA, Children's Outing Association, had like an open playtime. And I just thought, well, I don't know. I'll just take him to this open playtime. I had never done anything like that before. And I got there and I was just so incredibly touched by what was made available to me and to my child at no cost. And anyone from our community could go there. And I looked around and noticed like the toys and the books and the mats that made it safe for the kids to tumble. All of these things were thought about and put together by a nonprofit organization that was just there to say, we want to make life better for kids. We want to make life better for families and parents. And I was just so touched that I was getting to experience that. And then just one more example, you know, the park near my house has recently been planting new trees and putting in new benches to sit on. And recently, I was sitting on one of those benches, and I read the little plaque, and the plaque was, you know, in honor of someone and in their dear memory. And I thought, wow, someone gave, I don't know how much it costs to name a bench, but someone gave a substantial amount of money to name that bench, to put that bench in this park so that I would have a place to sit. And that's invisible, right? Like, we don't always think about how many of the things that we enjoy in our parks and you know, even our beach, places that just sort of we take for granted, but they're made possible through philanthropy and through giving and through a nonprofit who thinks through how do we make this work for people in our community.
Yeah, well, I think that's definitely necessary to say. I think it'll bring that awareness to the forefront with so many people about those great people that are doing the hard work and may not even be recognized for it. We're coming to the close of our show, but I wanted to just ask a quick question of each of you, because I know you're friends, both professionally and personally. What have you learned from each other in working together on this Milwaukee Domes Alliance project?
Well, I will start. I have learned a lot from Crystal about, you know, being strategic and organized in our grant writing approach and reaching out to the philanthropic community. I would say, though, for me, what she helped me to do is to see the bird's eye view of this project. So the domes matter a lot, but they don't just matter to one community. It's not just a historic preservation project. It's not just a horticultural or botanical project. You know, it really does reach anyone and everyone in our community in some way. And she really helped me to think differently about our messaging and our work in a way that was really impactful for us.
Okay, very nice. Crystal?
Well, I have learned so much from Krista. Again, it would take too long. But I think that two words would sum it up, and those words are hope and inspiration. At a time when our communities and our world can seem so divided, Krista just like had this vision that the domes can and should be saved. And after decades of our community sort of fumbling that project, she had the energy and the vision and the passion to take the project out to people of all different kinds of backgrounds and get them on board. And, you know, like our county board of supervisors voting unanimously to approve the project, that's like a miracle. And she was able to reach across all the different lines and help people to see how important this project was. I find that to be incredibly inspiring and hopeful.
I like those words, hope and inspiration. I mean, I hope that that's something that we're able to accomplish doing this show. Krista, what do you hope our listeners learned from our time together? And then how can they support you and your efforts at the Milwaukee Domes Alliance?
Well, I hope that they're inspired. I hope that they heard something that they connected with and that they can get behind. And I also hope that they then look for the opportunity for them to get involved. I've always said that this is not a Milwaukee Domes Alliance project. It's a Milwaukee project. And you could arguably say it's a Wisconsin project, but it's for all of us. And if we are to be successful, it's got to be a for the people, by the people initiative. So I would ask your listeners to visit us at domesreimagined.org, and they can find information about how to become a member, how to join our mailing list, how to get engaged. And that's really what we need to get this across the finish line.
Okay. I hope people were taking notes on that. One more time, the website?
It is domes, D-O-M-E-S, reimagined.org, all squished together.
Okay. And Crystal, I want to be sure people understand how they can get a hold of you. So what's the best way for people to reach you if they're interested in your the wonderful things that you offer the nonprofit sector?
Sure. If you're interested in our work with the nonprofit sector, you can go to forwardcommunications.com. You can also check out my profile on LinkedIn. And if you're interested in the book that you so kindly mentioned, you can go to mindfulgratitude.com and you'll see some information about workshops that we can offer organizations and all sorts of things. So forwardcommunications.com if you're interested in our nonprofit work, mindfulgratitude.com if you want to find out more about that.
And I would highly recommend you check out that book because it's awesome. I want to thank my guest today, Crystal Wendelberger, founder of Forward Communications, and Krista Beal-Diefenbach, CEO from the Milwaukee Domes Alliance. I really appreciate both of you sharing all the great work that you do and how you make an impact in our community. So thank you for being here today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to the Milwaukee Domes Alliance or Forward Communications. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guest today, that you think would be perfect for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you'd like to learn more about the great work nonprofits are doing in our community, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the various ways that these great organizations are contributing to making our community a great place. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone, and you can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. You can also listen on demand at your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to make a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating, I encourage you to first determine what your three T's are. What is your time availability? And what talent and treasure can you share with others? That way you can figure out how best you can be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.